It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. On today's show, we're exploring the Strip District, one of the truly authentic Pittsburgh neighborhoods. We'll look at the community it's become, from the businesses old and new to the people that sustain it. Essential Pittsburgh's Katie Blackley sat down with two board members at Neighbors in the Strip, the organization that works to oversee operations in the Strip District, to discuss the status of the neighborhood and goals for its future.
I'm joined by Don Orkowski. He's the president of the board at Neighbors in the Strip. Don Orkowski, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Neighbors in the Strip board vice president, Bon McSorley. Bon, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
So I'm sure Neighbors in the Strip does a lot more than just send out positive vibes about this community. Don, can you give us some background on the organization?
Sure. Neighbors in the Strip was founded in 1999. Since then, we have worked to preserve the nature of the Strip and to promote the economic development that's occurring here. We have done things like everything from trash cans and lighting and crosswalks, working with the city to get other amenities such as those put in, to helping businesses locate here, helping them with grants, with talking to the state and federal government, working with local government, with the businesses, and help them navigate a whole bunch of stuff. We've also had the most requested map in Pittsburgh we've produced for years. This is we're working on a new one, but it'll be the sixth edition. We have helped through our member businesses. We've helped to create Sunday strip shopping that's nearly as busy as Saturday. So I think that's a huge accomplishment. If you were to come to the Strip 10 years ago, you wouldn't have seen the Sunday business. You wouldn't have seen Monday business a decade ago. So we've helped with the member businesses. They've been crucial to that, but we've helped guide that process where there's been increases on Sunday, increases on other days of the week, increases towards retail, whereas a lot of folks were heavily focused on wholesale.
You said this is the most requested map in the city. This is obviously a very popular neighborhood. Why do you think that is? What is it about the character of this area that attracts people so much?
Yeah, I think what people are attracted to in the Strip is its uniqueness. This is an incredible location with mainly family-owned businesses that have been around for several generations. Because so many of them are focused on, or were focused on wholesale, whether it was import or manufacturing, such as Parma Sausage, for example, who makes all their sausage right here in the Strip. These are special little old world shops that you can't find anywhere else. You can't find Penn Mac in any other neighborhood. You can't find Parma in any other neighborhood. You can find Mancini's, but but there's so many that are unique to here. They're not chains. They're independent businesses. They're family owned. Some are in the fourth or fifth generation of family ownership. You can't find places like this in other neighborhoods.
I think the fact that the buildings in the neighborhood are not really slick and modern buildings. They're kind of an old world feeling to them. The doors, the windows, just as you walk down the street, everything about the sidewalks, it lends itself to that old world kind of feel to it. And I do feel like some of the street vendors have also added to the feeling of it's a hustle and bustle and just a marketplace. You know?
Yeah, I agree. I think the facades are one thing. As Bond said, the interiors, there's barrels of things. There are old wood floors. There's creaks and cracks, and you've got to walk through doorways to get to this or to get to that. So it's an experience. We hear from people that say, I came down as a kid and I saw the live fish, you know, or the lobsters, and it blew me away as a kid, and it was such an adventure that now that I have kids, I'm bringing them here. And we've heard that for generations. Now there's, you know, we're in second, third generation of people bringing their kids here for that experience. It's special. It's magical.
the Strip has been here for years. You said second, third generations, it's going to probably continue. But how have you seen it evolve over time, and what cultural or economic changes were happening in the city that pushed that evolution?
So change over the years, we've seen more business on Sundays, where we didn't have before. We've seen more retail growth over the years, whereas this was a wholesale district. Folks would come down, whether they were local farmers or whether they were here to procure stuff for a corner store or their grocery store. They would come here to the produce terminal and to the other wholesalers on Penn Avenue and purchase wholesale. We've seen a real shift where there's still tons of wholesale, but now there's week-long, 7 days a week, there's retail, where it's families coming out of the suburbs or coming down from the East End or wherever they live that are coming here for retail stuff. So I think we've seen a shift in the vendors as well. There have been, over the years, we've seen more growth in the sidewalk vending, which is great. We love to see that. The vendors are really sort of our ambassadors. We've seen a lot more tourism in the most recent years. And those tourists, really the vendors, are who they seek advice from. I heard that there's a pancake place down here that served Obama. Where is that? So the vendors are who they talk to, who they ask that question of. You know, they point them towards Pamela's. We've seen a lot of other growth in terms of this was not a residential neighborhood from about the 30s when a lot of changes happened. The Strip was a redlined neighborhood along with the Hill and the North Side, Lower Lawrenceville. Well, I say lower, I mean below Butler Street. And it was a low-income, mixed-race neighborhood that 579 took out a bunch of houses. There were a lot of other folks that came in and bought large pieces of property that were tenements or row houses. So really from the 30s, 40s, 50s, it became a business neighborhood and not a residential neighborhood. And that's changing now, and we're seeing an incredible amount of residential growth. A lot of very high-end residential growth, so it's a complete flip from what it used to be.
I would say it's attracting a greater variety of types of people. We're getting a lot more retailers. That we have a bike store, we have furniture stores, we have interior design stores. We've expanded. The neighborhood has become so much fun that more people are wanting to have a business down here, just like Pamela wanting to have a restaurant. We're getting more restaurants. I mean, she came in at a time when basically it was DeLuca's and a few small restaurants that had been here forever, Primanti's. That's expanding. Now these young people are coming in with wine nights and wine cellars and, restaurants and retail are... Diversity has totally changed from what it was in the past.
Yeah, and honestly, one of our biggest challenges is the success of the Strip, managing that and making sure it's inclusive. That's why there's things like the public market. That's why we're trying to work on making sure that as the new residents come in, that they're able to interface with these businesses. So we're working on a plan for how we attract more restaurants, more evening time business, that's positive evening time business, so that the stores themselves see the value of staying open later, so that if you come down here and you love the Strip, you want to move to the Strip, you do so, and then you find that you work till 6 every night and can't get to a store because it's not open. So that's one of our big challenges there. That's, again, it's a tangible thing, but we're creating a path to solve it.
We've also expanded from not just a foodie neighborhood to a kind of a social drinking neighborhood. We now have Wiggle Whiskey. We have Maggie's Farm Rums. We have Pittsburgh Winery. I mean, there's more, I think some more breweries even are in our neighborhood now, but coffee shops, more coffee shops. We have no Starbucks. We have no chain stores. That has been one of our greatest benefits, too, is when people come here, they're not going to a chain they see in their own neighborhood. They're coming to a unique experience here.
The future of the Strip District Produce Terminal has been in the news a lot. How have you approached this issue with businesses, with residents of the neighborhood, and with the city?
The Produce Terminal is a huge icon for our neighborhood. It takes up 4 or 5 blocks. It's definitely in a period of extreme deterioration, and it's going to take a lot of money to fix it up. The idea of what concept is best, I think, is what's being debated at this point. There's lots of people have lots of ideas, but it takes lots of money. So, I mean, you know, for the city to financially support it is probably not logical to take it over and try to make it a public market anymore. It's in far too poor of a condition for that to occur anymore. But if private development, maybe in conjunction with the city, can get in here and do a combination of they can make money on the building, the city can get some of the assets they would like to see in the neighborhood. There's not, that produce terminal affects everything in front of it and everything behind it. Everything going from the developments, the Buncher developments, all the way to the river, and everything, the street, just navigating that street for pedestrians is something that has to be dealt with. Then on the other side is the Strip District market. So that produce terminal is very influential in how our neighborhood goes forward. So it's really important that we get it right and we can live with it for a long time, because it's too much money to is going to be required to fix it.
One other thing, too, is in addition to the produce terminal, we're working closely with the city and with Riverlife on the trail behind there. And Riverlife is exploring ways not only to improve the trail that's behind there, and they're, of course, working with Buncher and with Oxford, Oxford's big development further up, but also working to bring folks into the neighborhood off the trail. I know the South Side worked heavily on how they accomplished that. What Riverlife is talking about are engagement points, one of those being 21st Street. So we're also working with the city on 21st Street and how we make that street connect into the trail and bring people back up and shop on Penn Avenue and on Smallman.
Going forward, can you both just kind of give me a vision of what you'd like to see in the next 5-10 years for the Strip District?
Yeah, I think over the next 5 to 10 years, what my vision of the Strip is more of what it's continuing on its trajectory right now. I want to see evening time business. I want to see the folks that move here be able to go to Penn Mac at 7 in the evening when they get home from work and buy some cheese, you know, buy some olive oil. I would love to see more restaurants here. And we're seeing, like, Smallman Galley's opening soon. We're seeing a lot more interest from other restaurants. To see that nightlife, that evening time excitement come here so that we're a more complete neighborhood in terms of being open from the morning until the evening. The residents, I'd love to see that continue to grow. I would love to see some sort of mixed income residential come in, because what we're seeing now is a ton of high value, very expensive stuff, which is great. We welcome those folks in the neighborhood, but we would really like to see low and moderate income folks have a place too. At least I personally would like to see that. I mean, they're the folks that work here. And a lot of the folks that shop here are low to moderate income folks. So the Strip is here for them, and we want to make sure that they have a place in the Strip, not just to shop, but also to live. That's sort of my vision.
Adding on to that, one of my visions is that we bring the neighborhoods closer together. That downtown has been seeing themselves, our neighborhood, as kind of an extension, because we fit in so nicely with them. They are adding to their residential numbers every day. We're adding to our residential numbers. Lawrenceville has become the hipster neighborhood, and everybody wants to shop, I know, in our neighborhood. So we're kind of in the middle of all of this development and growth and all of these challenges, and I would like to see some kind of transportation, like a circulator or something, that brings the people that work in downtown Pittsburgh into our neighborhood for lunches and shopping, that kind of thing. And even the people that live further down the road going the Upper Strip District, to move them downtown. I think that the developers here would like to see an easier access without having to add more cars. People bike, walk, run. That is what this neighborhood is becoming. So we have to make sure that we have bike lanes, that we have safe pedestrian travel through here, and that whatever we do, we kind of work to reduce the number of vehicles on these streets. And that would be like a circulator, get more people into the neighborhood, but in a way that doesn't bring more cars or vehicles necessarily in.
Bon McSorley is the vice president of the board at Neighbors in the Strip. And Don Orkoski is the president of the board at Neighbors in the Strip. Both of you, thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Coming up, hear the history behind some of the Strip's most popular businesses from the families that built them. You're listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.